So in part one of the series about the grief of separation, we talked about separation from corporate worship and how David described in Psalm 63 that didn't mean that we have to be separated from worship and praise of God completely. Now, in part two, I want to introduce you to a New Testament word that's very important, but we don't tend to use it much. It's the Greek word koinonia. Here's what it looks like in Greek and English. Koinonia is, as far as I can tell, the way it's pronounced. My Greek pronunciation software keeps telling me that I'm pronouncing it wrong. Here, listen closely. See if you can hear my computer play this.
Koinonia. Koinonia. Koinonia.
Koinonia, it says. I think my software is more Italian than it is Greek. But anyway, this word is used 20 different times in the New Testament. It's most often translated as fellowship, but sometimes it's translated as communion. It's the idea of participation or association. It's a word used several ways, including it can talk about our fellowship with the gospel message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It gets used about participation in the sufferings of Christ. It's a description of sometimes the contribution to the work of missionaries like the Apostle Paul. But I want you to see how the Apostle John uses it as he introduces his letter in John chapter 1. So open your Bible, find John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and I'll kind of explain a couple things just to put it in the context. John 1, starting at verse 1, says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have, you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then have we fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, just the context, John's writing this to strengthen the faith of believers who are being attacked with the a heretical message. The message then was that Jesus was only God. It's sort of interesting that nowadays we're often faced with the opposite heresy. People argue that Jesus is not God, but only man. And John seemed to be faced with people who accepted that Jesus was God, but said that he's not human. And so the same John who began his gospel by saying that Jesus, he calls him the Word, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he introduces his letter by talking, verse 1, about that very Word of life who was in the beginning. And he says, "We have seen him with our eyes, and we've looked on him, and our hands have touched him." And this was the beloved apostle who leaned on Christ's chest during the Last Supper and probably could hear that human heart beating, right? Now, that's the context, but that's not really what I want you to see. Look at how many times John uses this word koinonia and how he uses it. In verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And then in verse 6 and 7, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So John is trying to strengthen the faithful here. And he says in verse 3, we can have fellowship with John the Apostle himself, right? He says that you may have koinonia with us. Fellowship with the very one who saw and touched Jesus. But that fellowship, he says, isn't really about being connected to John. He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our real source of fellowship is our unity and purpose and love with God himself. And he goes on to show how that brings a dramatic change in our lives. If we say we have koinonia with him, but we walk in darkness, we're just lying. But if we walk in the light, you know, that very light of the world himself, we not only have koinonia with him, but John says we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So real fellowship with God results in real fellowship with each other. In fact, while that word koinonia is used 20 times in the New Testament, it is clearly implied many more times by the frequent use of this term one another among Christians. Virtually every occurrence of the New Testament one another's is an expression of that idea of koinonia. I'm not going to try to give you a reference to all of them. They're pretty easy to find, but let me just tell you about that use of one another in the New Testament. Do not lie to one another. Forbear one another. Forgive one another. Teach and admonish one another. Love one another. Comfort one another. Edify or build up one another. Prefer one another. Exhort one another. Consider one another. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another, have compassion on one another, use hospitality with one another, greet one another with a holy kiss, not during a global pandemic, obviously. Now, in seriousness, just go back and listen to all those one another's. Jesus even said that a defining characteristic of his disciples is that they would be able to be seen having love for one another. This fellowship that we're called to, it's much more than getting together with some fried chicken and green bean casserole, right? We're called to something that's far greater than a potluck. In being united with Christ, we are united in fellowship with one another. Brothers and sisters, because of the circumstances right now, we've lost that for a time. The call to be a disciple of Jesus is a call to fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. And we ought to grieve that separation of fellowship. It's been said many times, if you can miss church without missing church, something is seriously wrong. If this time apart doesn't create in us a holy desire, sort of a righteous longing to be back together with one another and enjoy fellowship, right? To actively experience that koinonia. You know, I already miss hearing Brother Larry tell us whether we're going to turn into blue hymnals or the red hymnals. I miss the candy basket being passed around or being met at the door by Brother Harry, the call to worship where the piano and the organ sound out some new hymn of faith every week. And yeah, I know I'm missing the joy of studying the Lord's Word together. There's that old cliche that you don't know what you've got until it's gone. Perhaps it's going to be this time away that makes us love and appreciate the fellowship that we have with one another. And if we find during this that we're not missing it while we're missing it, we should examine whether or not our fellowship is really what it should be.